demanded an urgent and horrifying news story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now, this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
We got a couple of free agency pieces of news here this afternoon. The Philadelphia Eagles have denied impermissible contact between general manager Howie Roseman and running back Saquon Barkley during the negotiating window before the start of free agency. So, His former coach at Penn State, James Franklin, suggested Roseman spoke to Barkley directly during the legal tampering period, which is not allowed. Franklin said this, quote, "For him now to come back and be able to play within the state in Philadelphia, he said that was one of the first things that Howie said to him on the phone as part of his sales pitch to him, was not only the Philadelphia Eagles and that, but obviously the connection with Penn State and the fan base as well. As people should know, teams are not allowed to talk directly to players during the negotiating window unless the player represents himself. An Eagle spokesperson said that all recruiting done by the team is facilitated through the agent. So, Angel, help me understand this, because it's weird to me. That wording right there bothers me. You know, teams are not allowed to talk directly to players during the negotiating window. Well, then, who's negotiating? Like, the teams should... How are they negotiating?
The agents.
The team has an agent?
Or the GM can talk to a player's agent.
Agent.
And the agent can relay information to the player, but there can't be any direct contact.
Isn't that semantics?
Well, I mean, there's windows for a reason. There's a illegal tampering period. Yeah, I mean, hopefully you have everything figured out by the time the window opens, and then it's say, hey, we've been talking to your agent. You should know the numbers. What do you think?
I mean... If you're talking to the agent, you're basically talking to the player. It's just it's a middleman, huh?
Yeah, it's a middleman. But
so what?
How the NFL does
the same thing is happening though. It's just the way it looks. Like, hey, agent, does Saquon want to play for us? Hold on. Hey, Saquon, I've got the team on the phone, but I can't put the phones too close together because you'll hear each other and that's illegal. Hey, Saquon, you want to play for them? Yeah, here's the contract. Okay, good. Oh yeah, Saquon's on the other line. He says it's good. That's ridiculous.
I mean,
it's stupid.
It's speaking with a neutral party for the most.
But he's not a neutral party.
Well, he's not affiliated with the team.
Yeah, but he's all for the player. So the agent is the mouthpiece of the player. So
yeah,
you're talking
agent
to the player.
Can also go back to the current team and say, hey, here's what I'm hearing that XYZ's winning the offer. Would you want to try to maybe restructure?
But you can't
Okay.
Like, you can't send a text to Saquon.
No.
That's dumb. You could send the exact same text to your agent, and the agent can copy and paste that text and send it to Saquon. That's dumb. It's a stupid rule.
It's rules are rules.
I think you either say you can't talk, because if you can talk to the agent, you're talking to the player.
Well, I mean, someone has to do the negotiation.
Correct, but you're still talking to the player. I'm just doing it through a third party. That's dumb. It's ridiculous. This is a rule that should be, once the window's open and you can talk to the agent, you should be able to talk to the player. Because you're already doing it. Falcons are in trouble with this, too?
Yes.
Kirk Cousins kind of said it on his press conference about joining the Falcons, about when they'd been talking.
Yeah, he kind of hinted that he was ready to move his family to Atlanta like a week ago. I don't think that's going to work out there. I'm not getting good vibes from Atlanta.
Really?
It just feels weird.
Would you
saw a video today of Kirk Cousins, like, I want to retire.
A Falcon. Yeah.
I want to retire as a Viking.
Oh, yeah.
I want to retire as a Falcon.
Well, yeah, they all say that. Russ wanted to retire as a Bronco until like 5 seconds ago. He wanted to win 18 Super Bowls with the Broncos. I did see the Kirk Cousins and Kyle Pitts interaction. I read about their interaction about the number. And they're both like, yeah, no, you take the number. No, you take the number. And then Pitts is basically like, just make it up to me in targets. Get me the freaking football. So like fantasy... If you watch like fantasy numbers and stock rising up, Kyle Pitts' stock is going through the roof right now. Which is, I think that's a good thing for Pitts. Whether you think this Falcons thing is going to work out or not, you might actually get the most out of this tight end that was supposed to change the game.
I don't know. I just get a weird vibe about it. Like the Kirk Cousins that's on the plane dancing with the chains and the shirts off, I don't know if that's always Kirk Cousins.
What are you saying? He's somebody different? He's like Russell Wilson? He's a different guy outward than
he is inward?
No, I
just think, you know, I know he's strong in his faith and all of that, and I think that's more of a part of him than the Kirk, I don't know what his nickname is. But
Kirked.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It could work. It just feels a little weird.
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, the Falcons, they just traded Desmond Ridder to the Cardinals. What's the thought process there for Arizona? More shoom.
We need a backup. Kyler's playing his first full year since injury.
If he doesn't work out, we got Ridder that could take over.
Well, you need a backup.
Yeah, I guess. All right. No, I know. I'm not trying to freak out. I get the rules are in place for a reason. I'm just saying it's a dumb rule. Like, if you could talk to the agent, you are talking to the player. That's what you're doing. It's literally just somebody in between the two phone calls. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. So I was reading this. I hadn't finished it yet, but it's a great piece at ESPN.com from Pete Thamel about the future of the March Madness tournament. And obviously college basketball, the NCAA has been talking about for a while now that they would like to get the 68-team format to at least to now up to 80 teams. Now, on the surface, Angel, a lot of people read that and go, ooh, more chances for upsets. No, that is them saying they want more chances to get bigger conference schools in. That's what they want. And they want it to actually be harder for the no-name teams to get in. Maybe even the UNC Bears, like a Big Sky Conference team to get in. That you almost have to have a bigger play-in thing rather than just what we have with the four right now. What do they have, two games for the play-in?
There's four.
Four? Four games for the play-in. You would have more of a tournament to get into the tournament, so to speak, for some of these lesser popular conferences. So they're talking about this. Coach K, former Duke head coach, came on and said this basically like, hey, with all the stuff going on in the NCAA, we don't even know if there's going to be an NCAA. Here's his quote. You don't change something now not knowing. Is there going to be an NCAA? If there will be an NCAA, what will it be? Before you start messing around with the tournament, understand what it is. It's a treasure, talking about March Madness. It's not something where you flippantly say, let's go to 96 teams, everyone. Let's just keep quiet and recognize the treasure that we have. I mean, this is realistic. The NCAA has been talking about expanding this for years. And again, it would just mean that would ensure bigger names to get in. But that's part of the reason we like March Madness so much is a lot of no-name teams go crazy. And you learn about them. And you learn about these teams nobody had followed. If UNC would have got in and found a way to win a game in the first round, maybe even advance past the second round, suddenly you're like, who is St. Thomas? And there's a story on him. And there's Steve Smiley, and then there's a story on his son Madden, and there's all these unique things, and people are like, yeah, we're really pulling for that team. That's what you want. You want the mix, though. You don't want all Cinderella stories, because then that would be, okay, what are we doing here? But you want a handful of Cinderella stories to get past the first round, and then you want a few more of those from that handful to get past the second, and then you want three or four to get past the next weekend, and you want one, maybe two, to get past the following weekend and make it into the Sweet 16.
Yeah, I think I believe that. Yeah, people like the Cinderellas and the upsets. I think maybe March Madness is maybe just a bit more that there's a ton of basketball on. Usually, the games are always competitive. You're in your office pools, your school pools, whatever, and you're just following that because it's fun. I mean, how often do we talk about UMBC 4 years ago or St. Peter's?
Oh yeah, it's over once it's over.
Yeah,
yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, those Cinderella stories are fun. But that's
a big reason why people watch it, though.
Sure.
You know, it's not – like, football is way different, and I don't know if you could ever capture any kind of feel, and I've talked about that, of how I like the playoffs, and maybe that could – you could start to see a feel there. It's just a sport that doesn't lend itself typically to major upsets. I'm talking major upsets. This is one of the big things about it. But the NCAA, I mean, with the conference – changing the way that they are, the conference is changing the way they are. The big thing we've talked about, Angel, like the SEC and the Big Ten, maybe just becoming, you know, or SEC, Big Ten, ACC, Big 12, branching off and just becoming its own thing. Well, how would that impact basketball. How would that impact the rest of the sports in the NCAA? So that's something where I think Coach K is saying, dude, we don't know what's going to happen. You know, we can't, we don't know what's going to happen with the entire NCAA. So why are we putting a lot of energy into trying to shake this thing or change this thing up? And that's what I think, you know, they got to sit still here and figure out who they're going to be as an NCAA first. How far are they willing to go? Because again, if you're talking Big Ten and SEC form basically the AFC and the NFC, and they just do their own thing, and they're a part of the college football playoffs, like it's just those two, it's a mini NFL, then that would leave everybody else out to dry, and then maybe the Big 12 would be trying to get teams into that, and the ACC would try to be getting the teams into that. Well, that would change everything. That would change the NCAA as we know it, because that's what's driving the money is these football conferences, especially the SEC and the Big Ten.
Yeah, and with March Madness, technically everyone plays postseason basketball mm-hmm. at their conference tournament.
Yeah.
And if this is a way to get the guaranteed regular season and conference champions in, sometimes it's the same team, sometimes it's team that won the regular season and then a 7 seed that won the conference tournament.
Yeah.
So do we devalue the conference tournament now if we're just going to put the top 4 teams of every conference in?
Yeah, I've argued for years that I'm really excited about watching the Mount West tournament, but do we need that too? Or should it just be all the emphasis is put on the regular season?
Is it about players playing in the postseason, or is it about we want more games, therefore more money? Because technically everyone plays in the postseason.
They want more big name teams in the big dance. That's what, same as the college football playoff. It's the same argument here. So like CU, for example, I don't know if we're saying they're a big name team, but I'm just using them for an example. They're a Pac-12. They were power four, power five, and then obviously they're still going to be power four when they move. But the Buffs should be in this thing. I agree. But the way it's set up right now is they haven't done enough. But with this new system, it would allow for, you'd probably look at a conference, and we're just taking the Pac-12 for now, even though it's gone. This is the last tournament. You would say, well, yeah, we want Arizona. Obviously, they're going to get in, but we want like the top 3 or 4 teams from the Pac-12 to get in. We want the top 3 or 4 teams from this conference, the Big Ten, to get in. So that would just allow the bigger market teams to get a for sure spot in the tournament. And then the lesser teams, the lesser conferences, would be put into some kind of Monday, Tuesday, pre-March Madness tournament to get in. So you're going to put all of your Cinderella possibilities in one pot. And they, for example, I don't know how this is going to go, but one idea that I've seen is like, okay, a Big Sky champ, Eastern Washington, you won the tournament. They lost, obviously, but they were number one. Whoever wins it doesn't guarantee that they're in to the actual March Madness. It would put them in a Monday pre-March Madness tournament, and they would have to win that game to get in, and it would be up against another Cinderella. So Monday would be just basketball. The Monday before March Madness would just be a bunch of basketball between a bunch of teams nationally nobody knows. So that's kind of where they want to go with this. It's just like the college football playoffs. That's why we say, okay, these lesser conferences have to have a good showing. You know, that's why the next year in the college football playoffs, in the next 5 years, if they stay the course for what they've pitched, the group of five school needs to really go out and have a big showing, or at least competitive. This year in March Madness, you know, you want to see the tweener conferences like the Mountain West have a big showing. Now, that's just basketball. We know what it is in football. But I do agree with Coach K, like, why change it now? And why do this now? This will, I mean, again, the moves that they keep trying to make, it's all about TV, Angel. It's all about the TV deals and the viewership. And they know that, hey, if we put CU in, or who's a bubble team? Give me a couple of bubble teams that are blue bloods.
Lenardi's last 4 buys, Oklahoma,
yeah.
Michigan State, Seton mm-hmm. Hall, Mississippi State.
So that, right there. They want them to not be on the bubble right now. They want them to already be in.
He has his first 4 games as Norfolk State and Grambling State, Stetson and Wagner, St. John's, Indiana State, Colorado, and Virginia.
Yeah. And that's the idea, is that those teams are no longer on the bubble at this stage. They would be in. You would just take that a step back. You just widen the entry level for the blue bloods. The and CU is not a blue blood, but you know, you'd widen that for those teams to get in. Izzo should be in this thing, you know. So that would I agree, and I think a lot of the guys that really follow March Madness and know every single team and study the crap out of this, I think they would all agree, Angel, you're not getting the best basketball in March Madness. You're getting the most exciting basketball. Anything can happen doesn't always mean you're getting the best basketball. So I do think that they're looking at that as well, but who cares? If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
So the ACC has three teams with under double-digit losses. The Big 12 has five, and six of those are ranked, so Kansas is up there. Where's the Big 10? Big 10 has three that have less than 10 losses, and the SEC has, where are they at? Sorry. Pac-12 has three teams with under 10 losses, and the SEC has three or four.
And they just want to make it an easier road for those teams. That's what this is. Let's see. Big Hub playoffs, here we come. He's all in on the Falcons, Kirk Cousins thing.
Oh, I think they'll be a successful team. I don't
playoff
know.
Playoff team?
Yes. They better win their division.
But will it just be like what we saw with Minnesota?
No, I think they'll be
good, but not great.
I think they'll be a 10-win team.
So good, not great.
Yeah.
They get into
at
the
least
wild
in
card.
Their first year.
Noob, talking about the Broncos still. On our first segment, I suppose. I get it. The Broncos are rebuilding, but Peyton just comes across like, hey, it's not my fault we suck. Well, I mean, he said, you know, it's not my hump.
It wasn't our hump. It wasn't our hump. I'm saying that respectfully. It wasn't our hump.
I don't even know what that means.
No one knows what it means, but it's provocative.
No, it's not. It
gets the people going.
Yes, well done. Yeah, that's exactly right. I didn't like that comment. But it wasn't wrong. It wasn't his hump. He wasn't here when John Elway said, yeah, life's too short to rebuild. We're not going with plan B. We like plan A. He wasn't here for all of that stuff. But I would rather him take ownership. And yeah, he is. You're right. Noob, I'm not arguing with you on that. He does come across as an arrogant dude. Angel, go back to the whole show archives. You'll hear how unexcited I was about trading a first-round pick for Sean Payton. I wasn't in on this. There was almost a part of me that's like, do you just stay with Hackett one more year and see? But I know that would have been bad. He was awful. And we learned that even more last year.
Look at big picture. It's Sean Payton's the coach. Probably, like you said, next 2 years, you evaluate it. If in year four of the deal or of his contract, the rebuild hasn't gone the right way, then you change it.
You change it again. But I'm telling you,
singular to the Broncos, every team has to go through this type of thing.
And you have to decide how much you want to commit to that. The Falcons said with Arthur Smith, they were done with that. They gave it 3 years, and they didn't see the needle moving as much.
Well, the Lions with Dan Campbell gave him an extension today.
Yeah.
They said, hey, we like what we see. Let's keep going.
And I think that's a brilliant move by them. I would sign that guy to a really long contract. You said, Chris Brady, speaking of Cinderellas, I see our redheaded stepchild, DU, lost in the conference finals, thus not making the big dance. If they're a Colorado team, I would rather DU be in. I don't follow DU, but...
Why are they the redheaded stepchild?
I don't know, you said, Chris. Why? Because they're not one of the big conferences?
They're Division I, right?
Yeah, they're Division I. Okay. Aren't they?
I think so.
They're basketball. It's just like UNC.
Division I basketball.
It's like UNC?
Yeah. They're in the Summit League.
Yeah.
They played each other.
They can get in. Yeah, but you can still play Northern New Mexico.
Sure. I don't know if they got a bid.
No, because he said, Chris said, oh yeah, it doesn't look like Northern New Mexico will attend as well. Could they even get in? Are they only have like two players.
If you, I guess if you won your conference or something. But
I don't know. Are they eligible? Are they in that world? Are they D1 basketball? Northern New Mexico. You say, Chris, where's the updates on them, man? Just going to tell us that's it? Doesn't look like they're going to attend? Why not? What happened? Three-point shooting got cold or what?
They compete as a NAIA independent within the Continental Athletic Conference.
So does that mean they could potentially get in? Nobody knows.
I'm going to just Google question. What's going on with New Mexico basketball?
Nobody's ever Googled this before, Angel. Why do you want to know, man? Northern New Mexico. Nothing?
Are they playing a conference tournament?
I don't know. I'm going all off of Eastside Chris here.
They beat Voorhees College in the first round.
Where is that? Is that in Rome or something?
I have no idea. But this conference is played in Kansas. And then they lost in the second round to Florida College, 80-47.
Florida College.
State University.
Well, bummer for them, man. I was really pulling for them. Trying to get that program on its feet.
I mean, 8-12 overall.
Yeah.
4-2 in conference play.
Not bad. Nowhere to go but up. Get another guy or two. You know, hit the recruiting trail. See what you can do.
Maybe
hit that transfer portal.
An 8-seater bus.
Yeah. Maybe get some AC in the bus, man, or heater. You know, grow, just improve. Put some money into the program. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Coming back, I want to talk about this. Primetime spoke on, and this was a while ago. I just dug it up because now Kirby Smart and Nick Saban was on Capitol Hill talking about it. Coaches are all talking about NIL. I found this one from Coach Prime, if I can spot it here. And I want to talk about what he had to say about name, image, and likeness. And I think he puts this extremely well. Saban did this as well. But this is just kind of to put this, give this some more clarity of what name, image, and likeness should be. And why maybe, Angel, I'm not as naive as I've been saying that I have been about this. Because what they're doing is not what I preached for the longest time. So let's talk about it next.
Start your day with Good Morning NoCo with Brian Gary and Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Sean Keeler of the Denver Post. You're listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the show. Just 32 minutes after the hour. On the Rocks, Liquor celebrated 13 years yesterday. They had a big to-do. A lot of people came out, got hooked up with prizes and drawings. That's just some of the things that they do, man. It's a liquor store, but, you know, they do a lot of fun things to get people involved. I mean, sometimes people are like, yeah, it's a liquor store. They got my stuff. Well, they don't always do that. There's a lot of liquor stores that you go in, and it's like, where's your craft beer section? Why don't you have this? Oh, you don't ever do any kind of wine tasting or anything like that? On the Rocks does all of that. And again, spick and span in there, man. It's just, it's so clean. You could eat off of it. I wouldn't suggest it, but you can. And I think that's a big deal. You've gone into a liquor store where your feet are stuck to the floor and the lights are flickering. You don't want that. Trust me. And you'd be surprised at how many of them are like that. That's not the case with On the Rocks Liquor, half a mile south of Highway 34 and 47th Avenue. Maybe get off work early. Stop by there. Grab yourself something special and sit back and enjoy the snow. Is it supposed to do this all day? We're supposed to get this all day, Angel? It's coming down out there, man.
I think it's on or off. It doesn't look like it's sticking.
No, nah, it's too warm, but it is pretty.
Sure.
It's a nice little view here. High up in our KFKA studios, our Aloe Fiber studios in Central Greeley. We've got a window. We didn't always used to have a window. Pretty exciting to look outside and see the snow.
It's nice.
It is nice.
I don't think cars can get up here, though.
You what?
I don't think the cars can get up.
I don't think so. I don't think that's happening.
Take some skill.
Yeah, it would take some skill. Primetime, Coach Sanders talked to... He kind of just piggybacked. Well, he didn't piggyback. This was back in February. But we've been hearing Nick Saban speak about the future of college sports, especially football,
Kirby Smart came out, kind of doubled down on that. I liked this quote. I was digging for different things because, Angel, one of our buy or sell things was that, hey, are you buying that if enough of these big name popular coaches come out and say stuff in a negative way about the NIL and how it's going, will something change? So I was digging up to see who's been vocal about this. We know Rick Pitino was vocal about this. Here's what Primetime's quote was from about a month ago. And this, I think this sets it up perfectly because, Angel, I've been hard on myself, man. I've been saying, hey, I've been naive on this. I thought that this could work. Well, to be fair, what's happening now wasn't what I proposed. So here's what Primetime said. Quote, NIL is not really what you think it is. All these kids aren't getting NIL. These kids are getting collectives. Collectives is if we took an offering up in this classroom, we passed the bucket like a church, that's a collective. NIL is name, image, and likeness. As much as I've had folks from the Green and Gold Guard on here, I've worked with them. I've had, you know, we're at some point probably going to talk to the folks at UNC's collective. I like some of what they're trying to do. I do think that some of them are actually trying to get players to do stuff to utilize their name, image, and likeness. But for the most part, this seems like it is. That's a good way of putting it. It's a bucket in church. You know, you hand it down. People put money in it. They give it to the church, and then the church decides where that money is going to go. They have a board. Bigger churches typically have a board, and they figure out, how are we going to utilize this money? It's going to go, we're going to obviously got to pay our people to keep doing what they're doing, you know, so they can dedicate themselves to the church. We're going to maybe donate some of that. We're going to build new facilities so we can better expand our reach. That's what a collective is.
And it all sounds great, but something Saban had mentioned is that some collectives are just better off because they can raise way more money.
Sure. I would imagine the collective at CSU is better off than the one at UNC's right now. I would imagine the one at Alabama's is much better off than CSU's. That's just the focus on the sports in that area.
And if it's, you know, we want to make this equal for everybody, collectives are kind of in the way of that.
Yeah. And that's, again, I like what we're doing, but I don't want the collective to just be a pot of money. And it basically, it's known, like, a collective is pretty close to the school. The schools are promoting the collective. So don't you think the person running the collective knows the needs that the coach needs?
Well, in some school, the starting quarterback's going to make more than the starting point guard. Point guard's going to make more than the quarterback. Well, what about the star volleyball player? What about the women's basketball player that's not getting, that is the best on the team?
Well, yeah, that's going to continue to be the way it goes.
Like, I'm going to take three handfuls. You can only take one handful.
Right. Well, and it's, you know, is it, and I do think it, if you can, with the collective, it is a little different than the bucket in a church because you can go to the Green and Gold Guard and you can pick out, I want to put my money toward CSU golf. I want it to go toward this. I don't know that you can specifically say, I want it to go to a quarterback. I don't think you can do that, but I think there's names on there and you can click them. But basically the selling point now is, as Nick Saban said, you know, if a player comes to you and says, hey, what's the NIL situation? What you have to be able to say is, well, all I know is there's this amount of money in the collective, and I would suggest you reach out to them. That's how it's supposed to go down. I don't even know if they can say how much money is in the collective. I don't know if they can actually do that. But Angel, the guy or gal that's running the collective probably knows that Isaiah Stevens is leaving next year for CSU and probably knows that the Rams are going to be in the market for another marquee player, a guy that can take up that mantle that was left with Roddy leaving and Isaiah Stevens leaving. So they'd be able to have that in the pot. So when CSU's out recruiting that next big person, they're able to say, yeah, the collective's been rolling, man. It's been rolling. There's money there. So you won't have to worry about that. But that in essence is what this is. And so my thing, for years I've said this, and people told me I was wrong. And listen, some of you are probably feeling pretty good about yourself because it turned out we can't have nice things. I've always said, don't pay the player. They shouldn't get paid for playing sports for you. but they should be able to go out and do stuff on their own and make money. They should be able to sell an autograph. They should be able to put on a car wash. They should be able to put on a sports camp or a free throw shooting competition, a tournament, fun things that they wanted to organize. And it might take time, but that's tough. That's life. We're all busy.
So I'm on the website of the Foundation Ohio, which is the collective for Ohio State. And under their Student Athlete Partnerships tab, there are about 24 football players and about 15 basketball players from the last couple of years.
And so you can click their name and donate money toward that player?
Can't click their name, but they have, you can do a one-time donation, recurring donation, you can join the Founders Club, and you can be eligible for a monthly prize pack, which is probably like a brochure and some magnets or something.
So can you pinpoint where you want, like if you're going to make a donation, do you check off where you want it to go? Like, I want it to go to football. And then that's now in the pot, and they get to use it accordingly.
So you can do from $10 to $20, $50, up to $5,000 donations. Doesn't look like you can specify it.
Okay.
I'm not gonna put my billing information.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that. But Phil, let's just, they put it in the pot. Who decides who gets what? Because the coach can't go to that collective, right, and go, "Ooh, I see that you have $5 million in there. I'm going to advise that you take $1 million and give it to that quarterback."
So it looks like they have four or five charities set up that the athletes can do. Athletes will gain invaluable experience when participating in events and activities with each charity. Charity will also benefit based on the exposure in which they receive.
Hmm.
So, I mean, that's different than I saw Caleb Downs. He just got a BMW for just being at Ohio State.
Well, and Primetime also said this, Angel, like, and again, I agree with him. Shador Sanders is endorsing. He's in commercials. He's working. He's doing the things to actually, he's actually using his name, image, and likeness. Some of these other players, like, we know they're, you follow Dalton Connect, right? Does he endorse anything? Have you, anything that pops up in your mind that you've seen him endorse?
Nothing like on a national level. I'm sure there's a lot of Tennessee Nashville stuff that he does.
That's what I need to see, though. That's name, image, and likeness. And that's why the collective side is just interesting. I'm not saying it's bad, because, again, I've seen the green and gold. They actually have players do stuff. They have meet and greets. They're working with, Larimer County Boys and Girls Clubs. They're actually having them do stuff. And I know, like, what we do here, we have an NIL. We have NIL with players. They do radio shows. We pay them a percentage of the sponsor that likes this player to come and do radio shows and to provide insight, give us their time, and just honestly their popularity to be able to talk to them. That's what we kind of do right now. And that I like.
So they also, the foundation also offers what they call the experiences menu. And for $5,000, you can get pregame football field access.
See, how does that have anything to do with the individual players?
I have no idea. For $10,000, you can attend a Friday night team meal.
So what is the difference between that and being a booster with the actual program? They're offering the same stuff that the schools are offering, the booster club's offering, or the school's offering to boosters, excuse me.
For $20,000, you and two people can participate in the team walk to the football stadium.
For $20,000, I can walk with you? Who's paying that?
Their biggest item is $25,000 to promote your business in a TV, radio, or social media campaign with an athlete.
That makes sense. That's advertising. But to walk with these guys and gals? No way. Who's paying $20,000 to do that?
$15,000 will get you and another person to travel on the Ohio State basketball team plane to a road game, stay at the team hotel, and attend the game behind the bench.
Well, how much would that normally cost anyway? It ain't cost the $15,000.
You're on the team plane? That's crazy.
Well, like, I know UNC boosters, they put money toward the round ball, and part of that package, they get to travel with them. I don't know if they're on the same plane or whatever, but they get to travel with them to a big game, a big non-conference game. But
you
I don't know.
Get a photo with your favorite player or coach plus autographed memorabilia for $3,500.
And that's stuff that you could randomly get if you're just lucky and there's a player in the state, you know, comes up to you and, hey, can I get a picture? Is he going to charge you for that?
A video message from your favorite Ohio State athlete, $1,000. For a probably 15-second, hey, thanks for being a fan.
Or maybe it's an ad. Like, hey, for the best chicken around, go to Billy Bob's Chicken Store or KFC or Burger King or whatever. For the best sandwich, check this place out. I can see that being worth $1,000 because you can use that video over and over again. I can see that. I can see it when it comes to advertising, but I can't see it any other way. 46 minutes after the hour. Angel, we got to jump out real quick. Wow. Look at that. Great discussions. Let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hey, Nugget fans, this is Coach Bowen of the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KSKA.
48 minutes after the hour, Lemons Heating and Cooling will make sure your heater is running appropriately, or maybe you are in that in the market for something new altogether, a new furnace. You can talk to our friends at Lemons Heating and Cooling. Free estimates are available at lemonsheatingandcooling.com. Our Chipper's Lane's poll question of the day, are you good? Are you okay with the Broncos being in rebuild mode? Or are you just mad that it ever came to this in the first place? Or are you just mad still that Russell Wilson is gone? I mean, I think there are some that are still like, why couldn't they have just held on to him and finished this whole thing out and see if anything comes of it? Maybe you're in that camp. Don't know why you would be, but maybe you are. So I want to hear it. But this is the right thing to do. I'm telling you guys, this is the right thing to do. All right, when we come back, I'm going to wrap up this hour. Nuggets and Jamal Murray, KCP. I want to talk about the leadership on this team. This is championship stuff. This is what separates, among many things, one of the big things that separates the Denver Nuggets and the Colorado Avalanche: leadership, skill, organization, great coaching, knowing what the hell you're doing. This is why the Broncos are doing what they're doing now, because it's time. We'll be right back.
Enter for free. Create your bracket. Win big. KFKA's Bracket Challenge, presented in part by A1 Organics. Keep it here if you want in. Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Ellison Hubbard, former CSU Ram, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Still coming down out there. Be careful driving around Northern Colorado. We're getting our snow, but I don't think it's gonna stick, as Cody Wilson said of Denver Front Range and Weather. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. I want to thank one of our sponsors of the show. That's Renaissance Insurance Group, formed by two UNC Bears alumni 20 years ago. They've always had our backs. They specialize in risk management, commercial and personal insurance needs. Don't lose what you've been working so hard for. Call Ryan, who's my guy over there, 970-674-8825. First Advantage text line again, 888-530-0043. Utah State and Fresno State getting ready to start. I think that's on CBS Sports Network coming up at 1 o'clock Mountain. So we'll have that one up on the tube for you. Some big games in the conference. See you tonight, Angel. We got Utah. They beat them once. They lost to them once. It's a 9:30 game. Gotta win. Sounds like if you win, they're going to be in, but very much on the bubble right now at this stage.
Yes, Lenardi has them as a out without this win.
Gotta do it. Think they can get it done?
I think they can.
I think so.
Especially with Cody coming back in.
I think he's playing. Is he playing? He practiced the last 2 days. So I would imagine he's playing.
Yeah.
This could be his last game in college, because he's a lottery pick.
Well, if they win, then it's not his last
game. It's not his last game. And if they lose, then maybe they go to a secondary tournament or something like that, I guess. But it's a big one tonight for the Buffs. I'm going to do it, Angel. I'm going to stay up. I'm going to stay up late. Probably, this thing probably won't get done until past midnight, right? Because it's not going to start at 9:30.
No, and who's the game before them?
I don't know. It'd be a Pac-12 game, though, wouldn't it?
Yes, it should be.
Yeah.
Game before them will be Stanford and Washington State.
What time does that game start?
That tips off at 7.
Yeah.
I mean, any of the other games could go. I mean, UCLA, Oregon could go into overtime.
It's going to be a late night, man. Oh, I got to do it. This is a big deal.
You do it now because they won't be playing this late in March Madness.
Right.
Hopefully.
Yeah. This is a good team. This Buffs team is a good team. They are. They should. I really want to see them in this tournament. Aaron texting in, I'm just glad the Broncos aren't trying to convince us they're not in rebuild mode. Yeah, you're not sitting up having Elway at the podium like, hey, no, we think Jarrett Stidham's got it, man. Although he did that kind of once with the spark thing, but that was more about Russell Wilson. But yeah, you're not going to hear the whole, no, we expect playoffs this year. You're not going to hear
it. What if they say 500? Yeah, we could probably play 500.
No, because see, that's what we've been doing.
That's what the Rockies are doing.
Yeah, yeah, probably.
That's what the Rockies are telling you they're doing.
Well, that's like their grand, hey, whoa, we could be 500.
Well, they're a year off because they'll be 500 this year.
You think so?
I think so.
You're going to go in on that. So you are kind of on the bus, on Tanner's little Rockies bus.
I'm just sitting in the garage, and I guess he's just waiting, but I'm staring at it from across the street.
You're looking at it. Yeah.
What's going on over there?
You're like, hey, that's new. That's a new one. Is that a new
converter?
Yeah, new converter?
Catalytic converter.
Yeah, do you get a new thing on there? Yeah, seats. Got new seats in here? That's nice.
And Bruce Dick said that they're going to surprise some people this year.
Well, Bruce is like in the front row seat with Tanner. They're just taking
Tanner's
turns.
Tanner's almost on the field.
Yeah. He's driving that bus into Coors Field and then rolling out of there like, hey, guys, it's me. Let's go Rockies. 12:57, buy or sell, coming up next.